Okay, here we are. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Superhero Call. Nick?
Hello, dear.
Hey, there you are. Well, I've worked out this keyboard situation here. So, everything's a go. How are you doing this evening, Mr. Good?
Well, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you so much. Feeling mighty fine. How's your good self?
Very well. We have a warm summer evening here. The locusts are buzzing.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just kind of recovering from the full moon yesterday, which was quite a big one.
Full power, wasn't it? Full power.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Let me tell you a little story real quick to illustrate the power of this moon. Had a fabulous meditation last night with three of my friends sitting in this copper pyramid. And we were sitting for about an hour in just the most splendid, splendid silence. And, you know, the energy shifted, you know how it does in a group meditation, and, you know, you can feel when it's kind of done, yeah? And so we just started moving around a little tiny little bit, just stretching a little bit. And I put my hand down on the floor behind me, and there was the most gigantic scorpion I'd ever seen in my life. Like, I kid you not, this scorpion was almost 12 inches long, looked like he was about 1,000 years old, looked more like a lobster than a scorpion, and was just, just cruising around in the dark.
Wait a minute, you put your hand on it, or you just saw it?
No, I put my hand near it, yeah, I just like, you know, I put my hand down there and on the ground, you know, just having a little stretch, and I saw it. And, you know, I'm not scared of scorpions anyway, but, it was just, you know, the power of it, all this Mars and Scorpio energy that's just been coming through. It's like, you know, a real gatekeeper, guardian creature coming out of the darkness. So that was a nice end to that little moon energy last night for me.
Wow. I don't know that I've ever seen a scorpion that big.
Yeah, me neither. I'd never seen anything close. Never, definitely not. It was amazing. Armor plated. Its shell was so thick, and he had like big pincer claws, like lobster claws, two of them. Yeah, it was amazing.
He was a selective Scorpio, I'm sure. You know, he's not just gonna pinch or sting anybody.
Yeah. So it's been intense, super intense, this Mars in Scorpio.
It has required a whole new level of self-care, I've found, just to maintain my sort of sanity and daily practices. A whole new level. I mean, really, really challenging me to create new strategies for how not to give in to the energy, because it's, just overwhelming. It's like a tsunami wave. Just, you can so get caught up in it, of drama and this and that, and a lot of terror energy I'm feeling, and so I've really had to re-look at everything newly. Like, what do I have to put in place such that I can manage a rigorous self-care that's actually has to be even more so than I've done ever? It's not enough just to do what I did last week, even. And in fact, it's just becoming that's taking up a lot of my day. You know, if I can squeeze in here or there, being a support to people, I'm doing it, but I'm really finding it's my nervous system feels like it really needs a whole new level of attention and space. And that's, I think that's really useful, you know, just to look at what strategies I can do to get even bigger and make room for everything that's coming in and everything that we're dealing with.
Mm. Wonderful. And I think it's worth emphasizing a little bit what Taylor's saying there to everyone that's listening. We're moving into times now, the rest of this year, next year, where, yeah, the priorities are going to be shifting. The values, the priorities are going to be shifting dramatically. And life is making us do this. Life is obliging us to do this. And the, you know, we're all busy and, you know, everyone's busy and seems to be getting busier. But the thing is, that busyness can distract you from looking after yourself. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a choice. You know, a lot of us don't have the choice about having to do a lot of the things that we do have to do. But the way we're doing them and why we're doing them, they all have to now really fundamentally be totally congruent with a new value system that puts ourselves at the top, self-nourishment at the top, so that we can actually handle the energies that are coming into creation right now, which are for our upliftment. And if we didn't have the massive disharmonious distraction of the modern world breaking down in all these different facets, if we didn't have that, these energies that are coming in, they're perfectly natural and they're perfectly designed to lift us up and facilitate a wonderful transformation, the next level of being human. And the modern civilization, to a massive degree, just exists completely out of harmony with this natural impulse and this natural system. So it seems like there's, you know, things are breaking down and a lot of it is negative. But in actual fact, the underlying energies that are facilitating all of this and are impacting us so strongly are extremely positive and 100% natural. And so it's very important that we turn our focus towards embracing these energies to the best of our ability.
Yeah, and it's seductive. It's a seductive pull to get caught into mass consciousness even more so at this time. You know, the pull is going to get greater, but there's so much juice and so much peace and real connection to divinity that we've never ever could even imagine or experienced ever before. Now, the energies that are available now and the space that's been opened now on the planet is not like anything we've ever had. And we can easily miss it, you know, if we're caught up in all this nonsense that's occurring. So, I find that one of the things if I just stop myself and ask, well, what would be the greatest place of flow I could put myself right now, this instant? I always hear, of late anyways, just sitting and looking at nature, and I think, okay. And I have this real draw, like real urge, just real affinity to want to do that. Just sit and look and watch. And there's so much there going on there. And when I do just stop and do that and just say, okay, I'm going to do that, the level of the information that comes in and the guidance and the connection and the power is just fantastic. I mean, I don't even really have words for it, honestly. But always way, way beyond what I could ever imagine, all my expectations.
Wonderful.
So let's see here. We got a lot of folks wanting to join. If anyone wants to join in, just raise your hand there, and we'll unmute you. And I see we have, let's see here. Let me see. I have to remember how to go to web questions. I always forget how to do that. All right, well, anyways, let's see. We have Claudia. Claudia, we'll unmute you.
Hello?
Hello?
Hey, this is Ethan.
Oh, hey, Ethan, that's right. You always come in under the mysterious Claudia name.
Yeah, we got the share of the same phone plan, yep. And it's her name on the account. So, yeah, how you guys doing?
Wonderful, mate. Nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's good to hear you guys, and nice to hear about your experiences with the powerful moon energy yesterday, because I was feeling it too, for sure.
Yes, what happened? Healing moon. It was extremely healing moon. You know, I kept hearing all day long, I was on constant calls, and I kept hearing, you need to get outside in this thing. You just need to get out. And so, like, at 9 o'clock, I said, Jeff, we need to go. We need to just get out. And, you know, Jeff's learned to just go with the flow, being married to me. But anyway, so we got in the van, and I said, I think we have to sleep out under it. That's what I'm hearing. We got to sleep. So we drove to a remote place where we could do just that. And positions, you know, like we had this whole bed set up and we dragged it out. And it was fortunately not raining and warm. And dragged it out. And it was so fantastic. And what I saw was, of course, you know, there's a whole different way you can view the moon when you're just laying there looking up at it. But, you know, the moon, if we ask it for healing, if we ask it for anything, just like all light bodies, especially the moon and the sun, there's so much healing and contribution that we can have and the moon wants to make to us. But, of course, like anything, we have to ask. And so Jeff just and I just laid there under this just super sonic, intense moon, and held hands and just went through this whole list of prayers, like prayers for his family, prayers for for hours. We just laid there and did prayers, healing prayers, and just prayers, you know, just prayers, prayers, prayers. And, I mean, it was just the best ever. So I was just so happy we acted on that because we were both tired. Neither of us wanted to do it. You know, really, we had to find just the right place, you know, all that stuff. But we pushed through it, and praise the Lord, we did. So, anyways, Ethan, well, how can we be of support to you this evening?
Well, I was kind of just coming in the door at home from work right now, and I didn't have any questions, like, right off the top of my head that I'd like to ask. I was going to just kind of listen in for a little while and see if anything came to mind and go from there. But, you know, I guess I could ask this one question that came up in my mind the other day when I was thinking about some stuff, listening to some of the new audios, particularly the ones and from stage one that Nick recorded, and he's talking about like emotional charge being the that locks you in the prison of the Matrix. And after a while, it kind of came to me, and I had to question myself about something that I wouldn't say I necessarily have, like, a really strong emotional charge to it. It's more of empathy. But let's see, that first call that I got on after I joined the training, that was just you, Taylor, and we were talking about a bunch of different stuff. And we got on the topic of salmon and how I really like fish and salmon, or I just love salmon. And living in Washington, right along the coast or near the coast, it's, you know, it's a big thing here. It's a huge part of what drives the culture I live. And so, you know, the state of salmon these days is, they're obviously, if you guys have heard or not, they're in decline. Populations are in decline for various reasons. And, you know, I feel empathy for these fish. And, but like I said, I'm not necessarily emotionally charged to it, but I was going to, I don't know, the question is then, I guess, would you consider that to be something that would lock me in that prison, so to speak?
Okay. If I'm okay. Here we go. So I'm going to use that, you know, what you just said, just as a, just like to set the tone for something. So the Matrix is, it's the thing that we're trapped in when we're functioning in our ego, which is the identity that goes with the body. When you consider yourself exclusively a physical body, and you call that physical body I, and that's the end of your identity, that's it, that's your ego. If you have a point of view on something, and you are emotionally charged about that point of view, and that point of view is the ego's point of view, you're stuck in the Matrix. The emotional charge is the glue that keeps us stuck in there. So this is why forgiveness is so important. When you use forgiveness as a practice, you practice the attitude of forgiveness, you're much more free in life. Much more free. Because you're not, you don't have the same positionality, the same emotional charge, and the same glue sticking you in the Matrix, and then the Matrix can screw with you. But when you live with compassion and practice forgiveness and ho'oponopono and prayers, you can experience higher and higher and higher levels of freedom. And what you're talking about there with the salmon is a symptom of the toxicity in the world, of the industrialization of fishing, and you know, ecosystems being out of balance, the general destruction of the natural world. And it's not just the salmon. There's already tens of thousands of species that have actually disappeared from the face of the earth. They're extinct. I forget what the actual figure is, but there's an astonishing number of species that are going extinct, you know, every week. So that's happening, you know, at the time. But what it's a reflection. The thing about the amazing thing about life, and this is not the ego's perspective. The ego wanders around in the world and reacts to everything, and is basically preoccupied with its own survival and obsessed with its own point of view, its own opinion, its own perspective on reality. So the ego is stuck in a positionality, obsessed with its own survival, preoccupied with its own survival, excuse me. So it exists mainly in a state of fear, palpable fear, or low-level anxiety, which is another name for stress. That's the ego's world. And it reacts to the world that it perceives around it, but it can't actually see reality. It can only react and perceive through its own filter, and its filter is basically the way it feels about itself. So if you have stuff going on, unresolved issues inside of yourself, say for instance, if you have anger stuff going on, and you see bad things happening in the world, you're going to get angry about it. It's only until recently that I've been able to see chemtrails and not get violently aggressive and want to go and kill someone, especially the pilot, and start giving out hate frequencies, it would just trigger that degree of violent response from me, yeah? Evil's always, like gross evil, pedophiles, satanic ritual abuse, dreadful, dreadful, dreadful things, people suffering, would always trigger an emotional response from me that was basically violent. And so it's taken me years through the practice of forgiveness, ho'oponopono, prayer, breathing, emotional freedom technique, and all the things that we recommend in the superhero training program, to be able to get these triggers and not respond to them with this knee-jerk reaction of violence. Yeah, some people it might be sadness, some people it might other emotions, fear. You see, but the thing is when you practice the practices that we recommend in superhero training, what happens is that your sense of self shifts away from your ego. And what Taylor was saying then about taking the time to nurture yourself and just feel how big you actually are. Let's do this right now, a little exercise right now. Everyone listening, just close your eyes for a moment. Take a few soft, gentle, deep breaths. Close your eyes, take a few soft, gentle, deep breaths. If you're feeling any stress at all or a little bit uptight, just do some alternate nostril breathing. Now, I just want you to be aware of your physical body and just feel how your body is feeling. Now, just be aware of with your eyes closed, just be aware of the atmosphere, the room that you're in, where that room is, if it's in a building, where that building is. Where that area is you are, what part of the town or city, and what part of the country, and where is that country in the world? And just be aware that we're living we're sharing a planet, and there's billions and billions of people on that planet, and everyone exists from a different, completely different reality experience. Everyone. And we're all experiencing this through our senses, through our five senses, and our five senses are feeding into a central processing unit we call our conscious mind, which is programmed and conditioned by the world. We register less than a fragment of 1% of what's actually in the energy spectrum. And then we process that less than 1% with a conscious mind that's been programmed and conditioned by a material world that is completely out of harmony and out of sync with the forces of nature and natural forces of creation. And we think we know what's going on, and we get very emotional about it when our point of view is challenged in any way. So surrendering positionality is very, very smart. Very, very smart. And the deeper you can do it within yourself, the smarter you are. So while you've got your eyes closed there, I just want you to feel your physical body. And now just start to feel the energy that you're in, that is surrounding you. every atom, every molecule, every atom, all the electrons, we're living in an electromagnetic ocean of energy, vibration, and frequency. That's what we're living in, an electromagnetic universe with no gaps in creation. Life knows exactly what it's doing. The best thing you can do is let go of your obsession with the fact that you're a physical body and start to deepen your relationship with life, with eternal life, not the physical material world that is going through extraordinary changes right now, which involves the extinction of countless numbers of creatures. Get into connecting with eternal life within yourself. You have a direct relationship with it. And when you start acknowledging life from an eternal point of view, and you start breathing it into yourself, doing all your forgiveness protocols to release your emotional charge on everything in the world, and just go about your little daily life to the best of your ability, loving people, sharing and caring, being kind, seeing people as they actually are, eternal beings of spiritual goodness, perfectly natural, held absolutely by life, life becomes a completely different experience. Completely different experience. And if you practice this over and over and over and over and over, connecting with the energy of life, with the source of life, with the spirit of life, you're lifted up. You're lifted up. And you live in grace, and you experience a degree of freedom and ease, and it's to the degree, absolute degree of the miraculous, where you can see people's lives breaking down around you all over the place, systems, all kinds of stuff breaking down. But you're thriving. In your little world, you're thriving. Within yourself, you're thriving. That's the way it is. And it doesn't mean bad things aren't going to happen or you're not going to have challenging situations. We just lost Michelle just lately, and it was pretty devastating for everyone concerned. But we turn it, all these things, into a positive. They all get recycled into a positive if you're living from the right place within yourself. Everything. So don't worry about the salmon disappearing. More species are appearing. And when we go through this little bit that we've got to go through together, you will be in a world with abundance, 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 abundance of everything. And you might not be so into salmon in that world. You might not need to be eating flesh foods. You might just be living off the pure love of life and the pure frequencies of life. You might be living off colors and vibrations and frequencies. You don't know what, where you're going. So accept things the way they are. Do your best to do your best in within any circumstances. And if you're inspired to do any practical changes, like helping to clean up the ocean or improve the habitat for salmon and stuff like that, or eat less fish or whatever it is, then follow your inspiration. But if you can't do anything about it, and you're not inspired to do anything about it, you've got to find a way to forgive it all in your heart, let it go so it's not the charge hasn't got you, so you can experience higher and higher degrees of freedom in this world, and you can really be of service to people. Inspire them, lift them up. Because what Taylor was saying at the beginning there, it's all about embodying it now. Forget about reading about stuff, listening to people's speeches, and all the blah, 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 blah. It's all about embodying it now. Everyone's being exposed right now. If you're not actually embodying it, if you're not actually living your truth, and it's not actually integrating within you and integrating more and more and more and more, you're going to be rudely exposed by the changes and the demands of the current times. Rudely exposed.
Well, that's beautiful, Nick. Ethan, did you want to say anything about what Nick just said?
No, it's something that I definitely agree with.
I want to just add to what he said, because, you know, this is so key, this I know you're passionate about salmon, and you know, there's a power and a magic and really moving into the realm of anything is possible that comes from moving forward with what we're inspired about and our passions from a place of no emotional charge or no positionality, like Nick was saying. And that's a very high space. But in that space, really, that's where the magic can occur. That's where miracles occur. Because you aren't attached to any outcome at all. You aren't attached to anything. You just simply aren't attached. But you have a mission, you know, you may have an intention or an inspiration, but you aren't, you don't have a particular outcome in mind, and you don't have, you aren't doing it from a reactionary state or an emotional state, like Nick was saying. That, you know, to look up in the sky and not get upset about chemtrails, that's a big space to be in, or anything. You know, there's so much we can get upset about, on a daily basis. Right before this call, I was just reading about how a woman, sold her daughter to, as a prostitute to pay, an 11-year-old daughter to pay for a heroin addict. I thought, you know, wow, and, you know, just put a lot of light and prayers around all of it, because if we're going to be superheroes, we have to be bigger than all of that, and we have to not be taken down by it and or caught up in it. You know, we really want to be so neutral and so clear and pure and clean that we can stand in the light and love that we are, and allow for shifts to happen from that place. And in that place, we really are doing God's work. You know, we're all doing God's work. We're working for God. When you get there, you're working for God. You don't have an outcome. All you know is you're holding that space. You know, divine intervention, the space of God's work, handiwork, because, you know, I mean, look, God made the salmon, and he put him there in those very rivers, knowing what was going to happen was going to happen. So there's a grand plan, and we can certainly get in alignment with that and hold the intention for it and be of service to it. And that's what a superhero does. You're of service to your missions and your inspiration. But that's very different than being wedded to them, attached to them, or they are who you are. You know, to be able to let go of all of that and just be in that highest place of working for God and holding that space open, that's pure magic there. That's what superheroes do. You know, they fly around and hold that space over situations, because we don't know, really, who are we to say what the greatest outcome is for anything, really, including ourselves. I mean, you come right down to it. So, but we can certainly hold the space for that. We can be the intention for that. We can have our life be in service for that, and that's a beautiful place, you know. And that's what Nick was just describing there, and that's where you have ultimate power. You have ultimate power and peace. You have ultimate peace in that space.
Indeed. Yeah, the thing about non-positionality is super important. And I guess for me with the salmon, like I'm describing it, I'm not really upset. There was a time when I had gone through some frustration about things that I was learning in regards to their decline, and that's somewhere that I could certainly do the forgiveness practice, because I can't say that I've necessarily done that yet, but I'm not upset about the things that are going on so much anymore. I do feel inspired, and that's kind of what I was saying, the empathy that I have for them, it's gotten me inspired to do something beneficial about the situation, and that's why last year, one of the steps that I took from what I can do based on where I'm at in life with education and just my current abilities, I took on volunteered with this local program that's set up by the county government to do stream water quality monitoring, and a lot of it is based around protecting salmon and salmon habitat, and also just making sure the water in the local watershed is clean according to certain standards for people too. And although I don't have too much time to volunteer with that project, it's cool to be able to go out when I can and help them out. And there's a couple other groups like that in this area that I want to start getting involved with. But yeah, the inspiration to do something about it is definitely there. And yeah, I would love to do some more. I really have an appreciation for those creatures now after just following them for about 7 years now. I've learned a pretty good amount of stuff, and it's just fascinating how intelligent they are and how much they provide for this world, how much, you know, they're carrying marine nutrition from the ocean, like, in some cases, way up into, like, high desert streams. And it's just, it's miraculous to me, you know?
Yeah, that's a beautiful, that's beautiful. And, you know, what a service you are to those organizations, you know, bringing your light and your service and your superhero-ness. I mean, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's good.
Let's talk about that a little bit so people can understand, just in case. So when Taylor says, you know, God has a plan, I'm just going to share my little perspective on this. When we say something like that, and the ego hears it, yeah, the personality hears it, we want to translate that into human terms. So that means, you know, God's figured all this out, knew about the chemtrails, wrote this down, you know, whatever, the big business plan for the unfolding of creation. So, you have a little look at that one, and, you know, it's a pretty childish perspective. Superheroes have a much more sophisticated approach to spirituality. And consider God to be like an effect, a wholly benevolent effect. And the effect is so powerful that it is responsible for, you know, causing the whole of creation and every detail of it. And the nature of God is all powerful, contains all wisdom, all answers to any perceived problems are inherently embedded into creation. And this is a good representation of this, is that if you get stung or bitten or there's anything poisonous in nature, there's always an antidote very close by. For instance, when I was a kid, we were always falling off our bicycles and ending up in big nettle patches, these giant green stinging weeds. And they sting you so bad, these things. And you come out in these big white lumps and I forget the name of the acid that's in the nettles, but it's really painful. And then there's this other weed around called dock leaf. And you can just rub the dock leaf on and all the skin goes away. And they grow side by side. So the problem is, the solution is there with the problem. So life knows, and you can use the word life or God interchangeably. God knows that because we have free will, if we move out of harmony, if we move out of sync with the nature of life, which we have done, and the first thing we've done is we've ignored our divinity. Our ancestors have ignored their divinity all the way back and lost the plot, lost sense of themselves, and so capitulated to leadership and governments and organized religion and all of these things. And none of this is God's creation. None of the problems, the troubles, the issues, the drama, the friction, the toxicity, none of this is God's creation. This is all ours. The children, with the free will to exist from the inspiration of our own divinity, and the connection with the eternal nature of life, or to ignore that and to shrink down and shrivel up and become a toxic, live in a toxic nightmare of our own reality, virtual reality dream, or awaken. And as we awaken, the absolute fundamental way we perceive reality shifts completely. You see? So it's all about awakening. And God knows that all the answers are there, all the solutions are there, and that any dream that we're dreaming that is out of tune with reality, which is what we experience when we're awake, is going to appear as if it destroys itself or it breaks down or it ends, you see? Like death, like, the destruction of civilization, of the unnatural world, the extinction of species and all the rest of it. Everything. Of course it is. Because it's all part of a world that is out of harmony. It's out of sync with the song of creation, with the underlying keynotes of the original creation, or what Greg Braden calls the divine matrix. So we live, human beings by and large, live in a superficial world that's superimposed on reality. And we think this is reality. But it isn't. And when you start doing these practices and you go deeper within yourself, you start to experience what reality actually is. And then what's required is for you to bring the presence of that into this world. Not by preaching to people and trying to explain what you haven't fully integrated yourself. But when you go to work, and doing your little jobs, whatever they are, wherever they are, going and doing your volunteer stuff with the salmon and stuff like that, or whatever it is, wherever it is you do, you just bring peace. You bring the peace of God that the world cannot understand, because the world needs peace through all of these conditions in the world to be harmonious, but they can't possibly be harmonious because it's a disharmonious civilization. And so we bring our peace, which comes from within, and we bring our love that is unconditional. And it doesn't require them to behave in a certain way for us to be able to express that in as compassion as forgiveness. And our truth, which is a living truth which you embody, it's not ideas. It's not ideas and beliefs and points of view. It's not advice you can give someone. It is a living truth of a living God, of a living spirit, of the living life that's within you and always has been within you and is in everybody else. It's the nature of their own spirit. So that's what we're being called to do right now, 100%. Not a little bit, 100%. You're going to see the rest of this year, next year, anyone that isn't in that way or moving towards that way is going to be having more and more and more and more and more challenges until it's going to get, you know, absolutely and utterly overwhelming. And it is for a lot of people already. Mm-hmm. And this isn't, you know, what Taylor was saying, this is miraculous. It's not a little thing we're talking about here. We're not talking about some like hippie movement here. We're talking about being the living embodiments of a living truth. We're talking about the embodying the very thing. Like, even if you don't believe in religion, even if you don't believe in God, even if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, even if you don't, you know, relate or resonate with any of those scriptures, gospels, the Bible, the teachings, none of it whatsoever, you have to ask yourself this question. What on earth happened just over 2,000 years ago that inspired such extraordinary violence from the powers that be in terms of murdering and trying to control anyone and everyone who was remotely motivated and inspired to connect with this living spirit? This living truth of life, which, you know, another name for it is the Christ consciousness. It's the same thing. It's the spirit of life that's in us. That's just one of the names that's been given it. So something happened a little over 2,000 years ago that inspired from the political controlling agencies of the time, which are the same political controlling agencies of this time. If you do your homework, the ruling autocracies of the day, they responded with such violence, they invented the Roman Catholic Church for a start. That was one of the first things they did. They invented the Roman Catholic Church to divert spiritual seekers that were inspired by something that happened just over 2,000 years ago to do with this living, embodying this living thing. They invented that church to divert seekers of that into organized religion. And then they proceeded to persecute, to murder en masse, to make all the genocides of history look like little picnics. And they went through the whole world doing it, all the way through Europe, the Dark Ages, through Spain, across to South America, and all the way up through the Americas, murdering everyone and everything, brutalizing everyone and anyone that wasn't, that was, you know, remotely interested in connecting with the spirit of life. So something happened to motivate that. They just didn't do that because they couldn't think of anything else to do. And they're not doing it today because they haven't got anything better to do. So we're in something that basically boils down to spiritual warfare. It is a wrestling match for your soul. And what that means is it's where you put your attention, your energy, your focus, your consciousness. And the more of an emotional charge you give it, that's where it stays. So when you're reacting to the appearance of an illusory matrix that isn't actually real, in terms of reality, It's part of a dream that's going on in a sub-creation. When you use your powerful, all-powerful spirit, the spirit of life, with a negative emotional charge, you leave a little bit of it in the matrix and you fuel the matrix. And that's why all the entertainment, all the television programs en masse are soap opera dramas that vibrate with a very low emotional hum. You watch them, how sad they are and how dramatic they are with anger and sadness and human drama. And that's why all your entertainment, your movies are mostly violent. Because it's very important that the matrix is fed by this kind of emotional energy. And so what we do is we remove that charge. We remove that charge, that investment, and we refuse to fuel that thing anymore. You see? And it requires practice to do that on the ground level of your being, through your personality. So you practice things like soul consciousness, nizche, man-man-about, ho'oponopono, prayer, alternate nostril breathing, heart-soul meditation, toning, emotional freedom technique. All of these things, meditation, all of these things are to release you. Release you and to dissolve the investment that you've made in this thing that's sustaining it. So when I look at the chemtrails, I don't see chemtrails anymore. I see a reflection of my own toxic thought. And I use it as motivation to develop a deeper and deeper and deeper peace of mind and deal with any toxicity that's coming up from my reaction to those things instantaneously and just evaporate them. You see? Does that make sense, bro?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a big game we're playing here, brother. And we're more like undercover. At the moment, we're still a little bit undercover. We're doing the inner work, but it's really going to become more and more and more obvious as time goes by, this year, next year. It's getting really close. We're really, really, really coming into our time now. Wouldn't you say so, Taylor?
Yeah, we're on the edge. On that precipice, this is what we were born for. This is why you placed yourself, your soul guided you to be in this program, to get these tools and be in this community and hear this information, because it's coming down. And it is spiritual warfare at the highest accord. And it's good to see it as that, I feel. I feel like that's not negativity at all, but rather, for me, it just reinforces all the more my commitment to practice, my commitment to continuously refine and purify and become more of, you know, heaven on earth. That's our role. We are the embodiment of that. We're holding that vibration and sharing that vibration. So, yeah, this is it. We're going to watch it unfold in our lifetimes. And it's really, praise the Lord, because it's been, like Nick said, I mean, this is this same exact a battle dichotomy has been going on forever. Variations in the theme, different actors, but all the same theme. No, it's all the same theme.
So let's just break that down a little bit as well into an energy language. When we're in the world, when we're perceiving everyone as over there, I'm here, over there, there's all these different things, yeah? We hear about this notion that we're all one. Well, obviously we're not all one, because I'm me and you're you, and there's the salmon over there, there's Africa, you know, India, all these different countries, everything's different, there's all this variation and diversity, infinite diversity. But it's all going on in an electromagnetic universe. Electromagnetism requires polarity. positive and negative electrical poles, so energy can flow through between them, you see. So we live in a polarized world. We live in a polarized reality. So there's opposites. There's a dynamic tension constantly active in the electromagnetic universe. But the electromagnetic universe isn't our home. It's not our reality. The polarity, it's like a training ground or preparation, because the power, the mastery, the degree of self-mastery that you need to be able to stand in your center, when you become more and more aware of the struggle between the forces of light and the forces of darkness in this world and all the manifestations of it, in all the, you know, the worst manifestations of evil, you know, the super dark stuff, down to, you know, just the stress that we experience on a daily basis, just going to work. When you become more and more aware of that, more and more sensitive of that, the level of mastery that you need to stand in your center in that and maintain that peace and that truth and that power I was talking about, that is exactly the level of mastery you need to be able to go on in this eternal life and be a, you know, a magnificent part of it, as opposed to, you know, being out of control and, you know, creating you know, dreadful, you know, imagine if you really are a child of God and you really do have the power of God and you think one negative thought, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? If you are that powerful and you think one negative thought, what's going to happen if you go into fear for a millisecond? What's going to happen if you do have the full power of God flowing through you and instantaneously that's what manifests? So we have to develop these skill sets before we're allowed out of the cage, the madhouse. So everything is perfect. It's all playing its part. Evil plays a wonderful, 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 wonderful part in this whole thing. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't like it at all. But I appreciate it. I respect it. I wouldn't be who I am today without having had to deal with that all my life.
Well,
so
none of us would.
None of us would. Yeah, please. So we just need to hold things in the correct perspective, and the correct perspective requires mastery. Mastery requires practice. Practice and study, practice and study, practice and study. Superhero training is a wonderful, wonderful system for you. So just keep on keeping on.
Yeah,
and this, you know, I want to just highlight what Nick said about, you know, imagine if you were a child of God and what you thought instantly manifests. Well, that's exactly what happens.
It instantly manifests.
So it's not make-believe. And that alone, that just holding that reality in front of us alone is a practice. And it's a good one. Because, you know, if you have for one instant a thought of fear, and that fear then is going to manifest immediately into the world, and that's your responsibility, you know, that can create a nice, real inspiration for you to have as a practice not to get into fear. It can just be that simple. And to catch yourself and remind yourself, wait, hold on, I'm a child of God. Do I really want to go here? Do I really want to have these thoughts? Do I really want to get caught up in this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was all really beautiful stuff that you guys are just throwing down there.
Something came to mind back on the topic of spiritual warfare, and I got turned on to a book actually through you, Nick, a few years ago. I was just getting your guys' emails, and at the time I wanted to join the training, but I couldn't afford it, that whole story. But anyway, I got an email with a link to it, a really brief message, and I checked it out. It was for the handbook for the new paradigm book. And so I downloaded that.
Oh, yeah. Amazing stuff.
I downloaded and read, well, listened to it. I got the audio version of it. Now, gosh, I've listened to that numerous times. And what is it? What they're talking about in there about going into depth about this spiritual warfare thing and what behind, like the agenda behind that is just almost unimaginable, isn't it?
Yeah, but the thing is, listen, we have to be careful with this, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's two things a superhero is not interested in. One is judgment, and the other is denial. Judgment and denial. There's an amazing quote from Love Without End, Jesus Speaks. Judgment and denial cause ruptures in the flow of life. And the universe immediately fills those ruptures with the very things your objections denied. In other words, energy flows where attention goes. When we look at information like that handbook and new paradigm, and I'm really into, I've been really on the case, investigating the origins of evil and the manifestations of and all the rest of it. The thing is, you have to trace it back to yourself. Whether you're talking about the devil, they're talking in a mythological, religious, mythological language, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, or shadow government, secret government agendas, conspiracy theories. And incidentally, you know, it's a very, very, very well known fact. And absolutely 100% validated by their own admittance that the powers that be, the political controlling agencies of this world that are behind the manipulation of all the countries in the modern Western world and other countries as well, anywhere basically where there's a Rothschild bank, that control grid exists behind it, their religion is Luciferianism. They are the worshippers of Lucifer, and they believe in the god Lucifer. And that's just their thing. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. What I'm saying is that's what they believe. And they openly admit it, including the Roman Catholic Church. Do your research. Just that's what it is. So whether you're talking about that kind of, you're talking in that language, which is mythological religious language, or you're talking about energy dynamics, the dynamic tension between positive and negative poles playing out in electromagnetic universe. What the only thing you can do, in any case, is to trace it back to yourself. Where does this darkness have its root in me? Where does this evil have its root in me? Where am I feeding negativity? Where is the portal of judgment and denial going on in me? If I'm in judgment of something, then I'm in positionality, yeah? One of the, oh man, I'm nearly crying now. This gets me every time. One of the greatest visual moments in cinematic history is in the movie The Passion, done by Mel Brooks on the last 3 days of Jesus' life, or the last 72 hours or something. Same thing. And I think it's pretty much the opening of the film where they're going to throw all these rocks and stone Mary to death because she's I don't know, had sex with a married man or whatever. An adulteress. Yeah, she's cheated on her husband. So there's all these guys there. They're all around her. They've got her up. They've already given her a bit of a kick in. She's on the floor. They've got all these rocks and they're starting to throw stones at her. And this was a big thing in those days. You know, you could stone people to death. It still is in some Muslim countries. Public stonings, yeah? This was a good thing before. So notions of good and evil change with the times. This was a good thing. So Jesus steps in, and there's this great scene in the film where all you see is just his feet, and then this line being drawn in the sand, in the gravel on the ground, with his fingers, and he just draws this line. It's super dramatic. And he says, "Let him who is without sin throw the first stone." And of course everyone drops the stones and goes home. And he tells the woman her sins are forgiven. And she becomes one of his disciples. Now, what that is a metaphor for, right? Okay, these are mythological images that are talking to your consciousness. And what it's saying is that If you don't have any sin, if you haven't thought one thought, felt one feeling, said one word, or done any action that is out of tune with your inner nature, then feel free to lend your point of view to this this situation here, yeah? So that, you know, means we're all on the other side of the line. And that's what it means. We're all born into sin and we're all sinners. Of course we are. We don't even know who we are. It just means we're missing the mark where we're not coming from the, you know, our true sense of self all the time. So, judgment is when you assume you know. And you start spouting off about that with an emotional charge. You're feeding the very thing you don't like. You're feeding it. That's for sure. You're giving energy to it. And so what the Matrix does, amazingly enough, and I've got to thank Gerald O'Donnell for enlightening me on this one, or first opening the door for me to understand the dynamics of the Dark Matrix. The Dark Matrix, because it is electromagnetic, has a positive and negative pole. So what it does is it actually generates scenarios where within its own nature, which is polarized, it presents a positive and negative scenario. It says, we're the good ones over here, and the bad ones are over there. And so it splits consciousness. So we decide which side of the line we want to, okay, we're going to go for these ones, I'm going to be a blue one, you can be a red one. And you just think about this for a moment, on every level of society, this is what's going on, and within our own minds. So judgment, and then denial. Denial is the next thing. When you ignore the fact of evil in this world, when you pretend it doesn't exist, that there's nothing bad happening, that it's all conspiracy theories, and that we shouldn't address it in any way, shape, or form, you're doing as much damage as you are by judging it. So the thing is, and what Taylor was saying, this is what it means about how big can you become, is when you can stand in the center of this thing, when you can go down there and fish out those dead bodies of those salmons, all radiated and full of dreadful, dreadful, dreadful poison, God knows what else, mutated, there's mutations, all kinds of mutations coming in the fishes now, and you can hold that with compassion, and you can see it, you can look at it with the eyes of Christ consciousness. And you understand why this is happening. This is a manifestation of a toxic culture. It's a toxic culture. The culture's toxic. The environment's toxic. The education's toxic. The system's toxic. And that toxicity, the only thing we can do about it is trace it back to ourselves. Where am I toxic? Where am I in judgment? Where am I in denial? Where am I throwing rocks? And what can I do? How can I use that as motivation to increase my practice and embody something that is greater than all of that? And as you do that, you become a living solution to this problem. You become the salvation of the world. You become the hero, the superhero. You become the angel. You become the one that can go into any situation, any one times. I'm traveling pretty much consistently now. You can go into people's lives and they will be lifted up by your presence. Lifted up. They are so glad you're in the house. So glad you are here. And you might just be doing the washing up or taking out the trash or making a bit of chocolate or cleaning up some cat puke or whatever it is. But it's because you're embodying something that is beyond this dynamic tension of this polarization. But you're in it. You're here to embody a solution, a greater sense of self. And that's all we can do, mate. So stay out of judgment and denial. Practice, 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 practice. Understand it's a big game and it's getting bigger. And like Taylor said, we know we're on the cusp of the real moment in human history that we've been waiting for, that we're incarnate. And it's all going to make perfect sense. We can't understand it now, but I wrote something a little while ago about we are so bright. Our lights are so bright. We need an equivalent amount of darkness in which to blaze. And that's here.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Beautiful, beautiful. So well put. Aren't we blessed to have Brother Nick with us?
Indeed.
Glory be to the Almighty. Brother Nick, if Brother Nick inspires anyone, Brother Nick spends as much as part of his life as he can on his knees, or standing or sitting, just giving his heart, deep, 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 deep inside of himself, intentionalizing, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Yeah.
There you go. That's what superheroes do. And be in service. And show up. All right, well, thank you so much, Ethan. You've inspired so much just from your salmon question. And see, there you have it. That's, who would have known? That's the salmon.
Thank you.
Created all of this.
Yeah, that's quite a conversation there.
There you go.
And one other thing as well, one little thing we must be aware of, yeah? If you get fired up about the salmon, like if I was you, if I'd been in your shoes and I love the salmon so much, I would have gone through, total psycho phase of wanting to kill people, and do some real damage. The thing is that when you're triggered by the wrongdoing in the world and the cruelty of the world and the toxicity of it and the brutality of it and the horror of the desecration of nature and everything sacred and good. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's part of not being in denial and not, you might go through the judgment thing, but the thing is you need to harness the energy. You have to use your red energy. And this is especially relevant, it's hugely relevant for us all. The men are emasculated. So many of the men are emasculated now, and we're supposed to be the fucking warriors. And everyone's walking around on tiptoe, just like, trying to be too feminine. The guys are emasculated, and the women don't know what to do, don't know how to channel their rage either. And a lot of it's been directed at men. And we don't need that. You need to, a real warrior uses the red energy. So when I walk through the world and, with all this, potential to be triggered by the thing, and I'm extraordinarily sensitive. I see and feel things that most of you guys never ever do. I have to deal with so much, trigger energy that wants to pull that, toxic warrior out. But the thing is, you can use it to burn, to really burn in the fire of certainty. And I really encourage you to use this element of fire in your imagination when you're walking around, because everyone, nearly everyone and everything, nearly every energy field, because this whole electromagnetic universe, we're all in our own little electromagnetic energy fields. Call it your aura or whatever it is. And that electromagnetic energy field has a frequency, a vibration, and a wavelength. And it is defined by what you think, by what you're feeling all the time, what you're saying, what you're doing. And so we're walking through toxic schwank all the time. When you blaze, when you burn, when you take that red energy, that warrior fire, that passion for change, that could be, you know, manifest as anger or anything like that, you need to harness that and use it in your imagination, turn it into fire. So you're burning with the certainty, the Nitya, your own faith, of this living truth, of this living spirit, of this living God within you. And you are burning with the certainty of the love of that that's burning in your heart. And while, when you've got that fire going, you can keep the world off you. You can keep it off. And you can live in the world but not be of the world. You can not get infected by other people's thoughts and feelings and stuff, and you can pass through, you know, even the most unconscious areas and the most disharmonious, like the cities now, like the hardcore cities, there is so much electromagnetic smog, low frequency energy, toxicity, and microwaves, cell phone towers, chemtrails, all this stuff, you know, gazillions of flipping, you know, Wi-Fi frequencies and all the rest of it, electricity, everything, let alone, you know, millions and millions and millions of toxic human beings. You know, you need to be bulletproof to move through that thing. And the way to do that is to activate the living technology of your own soul. And that requires you to be so incredibly faith focused deep, deep, deep down inside of you with a burning, intense fire. So what I do is I take my red energy and I internalize it into intensity to hold myself in a deep center point within myself. And that center point is what we call Nizche. It's certainty. It's faith. And it doesn't wobble around. And that's your center point. That's the center of your own being. And if you can hold your center in that way, everything kind of self-organizes around you. And you really, 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 really can have an amazing experience and discover what it is to be truly human and truly alive in these wonderful, wonderful times.
Yeah, definitely. And I just wanted to add real quick too, just something, different way of saying something that you guys were already saying there, is like the beneficial purpose of all this negativity and the evil forces in the world is to inspire us to become more of who we really are, right? And that's kind of what this training is all about, is giving the tools for people to do that. And yeah, I really appreciate having come across this training years ago and now finally being able to be a part of it. And I really appreciate you guys putting it together and getting it out there for the world.
Well, we appreciate you, Ethan, and jumping on, asking this question, which has created all the whole call, essentially. And we'll look forward to hearing more from you.
Great.
Go forth. Yeah, go forth.
I'll look forward to talking to you guys again soon.
Go forth and multiply, Ethan.
Yeah.
All right, well, we got two people who's had their hands up for some time now, so we're going to jump over to them right now. So thank you so much, Ethan.
Peace. Thank you.
All right, so we have a San Francisco. I don't know who that is, but I know you've been patiently waiting here, so I'm going to unmute you now.
Hello, it's Michael in San Francisco now. Sometimes in Oakland, sometimes in San Francisco. Hi.
You're the Michael that's normally in Oakland?
Yeah, well, I live in Oakland, but I have a San Francisco number, because, so blessings and gratitude for your work and for this call. The full moon was very powerful last night. I did my intention. I've also felt the terror energy that Taylor referenced earlier over the last couple weeks. And so my question is about self-discipline, and Nick just talking about self-mastery. And Taylor also mentioned something called, you know, self-nurturing. So I'm trying to understand, like, how to, you know, the mix. You know, I need a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and, like, you know, how to, you know, self-mastery. And because I'm noticing the self-nurturing coming up against the self-discipline, basically.
I'm not sure what you mean by that. You know, they're kind of all one and the same for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I understand your question.
Well, I think I'm just trying to work out how to have more self-discipline, but in a way that's also nurturing. Because for me, they're not the one and the same. For me, one is like, is being strict, and the other one is being, it's almost like two parents or something, right? That are, you know, the strict parent and the not strict parent or something. I mean, I'm seeing a duality, I guess. And you're not seeing a duality, but you do use different language, you do use different words. So there has to be some.
So
sort
are you
of
saying
difference.
That your practices don't feel self-nurturing to you, but you feel like there's practices that are creating more discipline for you on one hand, and then there's other practices that feel self-nurturing on the other?
Yeah, I mean, so to get up early in the morning feels like self-discipline. But to meditate feels like self-nourishment. And then there's a judgment that I've attached to the self-discipline. First, you know what I mean? Does that make more sense?
A little bit. Yeah, I mean...
Or we could just talk about mastery. I don't know.
There you go. Why don't we just do that? I mean, you know... For me, I do see getting up early, well, maybe difficult, especially if I've gone to bed late or I've eaten late, as self-nurturing. I mean, unless I need to sleep more, and that would be more nurturing, you know, depending on what's happening. But maybe perhaps what could be of support to you is to see it all as self-nurturing.
Yeah, that feels right.
Because, I mean, you know, I mean, how can you get excited about getting up if you don't see the end result, which is nurturing? You know, and so perhaps maybe what could be supportive to you is to really stand in all of my disciplines. All of them are nurturing me at a deep, fundamental level, the likes of which is giving me eternal, you know, bliss, eternal connection, eternal compassion and gratitude, and all that you're seeking on a spiritual path, all of it. And there's, you know, in a way, there's really no better self-nurturing, the highest form of self-nurturing. And, you know, that's not to say you may not be challenged here or there. You know, like Nick was saying, just recently he finally saw chemtrails as, you know, not a trigger for him. So, the act of your discipline, the acts of your disciplines alone can create triggers, you know. But my suggestion to you is, to hold it all as self is the highest form of self nourishment. The highest form. There's no higher. That's like drinking from the heavenly goblet. There's no higher form of self nourishment or nutrient or connection, really. That's why we created them all, really, because we know that we knew in the creation of the practices and disciplines that the end result would be that. And, you know, maybe it's, you know, look, we all have this stuff, you know, old programming from, you know, doing homework to who the heck knows what, you know, that might be there, but.
Yeah, I have, you know what, it's interesting you say that. I have a lot of, I used to be in the corporate world, and I have a lot of programming from that, basically, that taught me to hate work. And it taught me to hate, like, the whole concept. But then now that I'm working for myself and I'm creating things that could be of great, that are of great service and benefit to people, there's still that, like, trauma or something.
Yes, you just want to forgive all that?
No.
You know, just do a little ritual, do a little ceremony, just let all that go and recognize that the path you're on now, there's incredible juice and nourishment and life-giving practices that open you up to the miraculous, such that it isn't work at all, but you get into an eternal flow of magic. And in that space, there isn't a whole lot of doing that's required. You can actually shift that whole paradigm. Hold that as the end result of your practices.
Eternal flow of magic.
Just let go of the whole work thing altogether.
Yeah, getting back to your original question, you know, what's the difference between, you know, discipline and nurturing. You know, what Taylor was saying about considering everything nurturing, it is. And also the discipline is, you know, basically means you have to bring it into every moment of your life, and that's what your breath is for. Your breath is the anchor for your concentration. So I say this very often, you know, we're like undercover secret agents, you know, undercover on a mission. And as long as we're breathing the love of God in everything we do, it doesn't matter whether you're driving a bus or washing dishes or looking after, you know, someone's dog or working in an office or being, you know, a real world shaking, you know, mover and a shaker on a global scale. If you're not breathing the love of God, if you're not actually connected to your spiritual nature, if you're not bridging in the higher consciousness into this world, you're not really doing, you know, much service, really. It's becoming more obvious, you know, there's a whole paradigm shift going on. The fundamental nature of reality is shifting. We are transforming, you know, all of these, like, super crazy concepts that have been in the language base for at least, you know, 2,000 years. You know, there's extraordinary claims made by Jesus in the Bible and all kinds of, you know, the followers of that school of thought. that, you know, some extraordinary transformation is going to take place that the world doesn't have a context for, you see? And this is what's going on. It's not about, you know, do these practices so you can be more successful in the material world. You know, if anyone that's into that should immediately leave superhero training and go on, you know, get onto a Tony Robbins training, because he's going to, you know, he's going to help you do that. But the world that we're trying to be more successful in is inherently flawed and, you know, bound to be composted. You know, it's unavoidable. It's just another civilization on top of countless others that, that life will compost. And, it will, you know, sooner rather than later be buried underneath the, you know, the earth or the oceans. So we as consciousness, we as spiritual beings that are functioning in this world, we need to live in an eternal context. And start to have a real meat and potatoes relationship with what that actually means. And your breath is your anchor for that. Your mind can never understand it. Your mind can never figure it out. Your mind is not the tool, repeat, it is not the tool or the organ to experience your spiritual magnificence. So you have to let go of that. And go to a deeper sense of self, which is beyond your mind. And your breath is the conduit to take you there. And when you were in the womb, when you were in your mother's womb, you were breathing through your umbilical cord. So, it's a good idea to breathe that deep inside of you, and you need healthy guts to be able to enjoy peace, inner peace, because the enteric nervous system, which is all in the belly and the guts and the intestines, if the guts are full of, you know, if your bowel is really unhealthy, if your small intestines are really unhealthy, it's very difficult for you to experience inner peace, and it's very easy for you to experience discordant, toxic thoughts because your guts are toxic, and experience toxic emotions and depression and all kinds of weird feelings if you're eating, you know, dead foods and the vibrations of the world that are in that stuff. So when you're breathing deep inside of yourself, you know, the cleaner you are, the healthier you are. The happier you are, the easier it is to experience the inner peace. But it's not through your mind you're actually able to experience it, you see? So you have to be certain. So the most nurturing thing you can do, and the best thing for your practice, is to breathe consciously all the time, no matter what you're doing, wherever you're doing it, breathing with faith that what you're breathing is the ultimate power that you have access to. And it absolutely is your salvation. It's your total salvation. It's the salvation of your soul. It's the nature of your own inner being. It's who you actually are. And the power of it is so, you know, almighty or all-powerful, that it is, the more you bring it into your physical body, into your cellular structure, the more of an impact it has on your world around you. And so your life transforms accordingly. And you realize that you're actually held in a bubble of invisible grace, that you walk around and ride around on kind of like a little soft cloud. And you're actually being carried by something inherently good that actually has power over all the appearances of this reality. So things can appear to be breaking down or challenging or whatnot. But if you're living from that faith within you, based on a living relationship with a living spiritual power within yourself, which actually is your own inner nature, and it's deep within you. It's deep within you. It's not in the mind. the modern mind doesn't know anything about it, and it is found in the stillness and the silence of your own inner being. And as you come from that depth more and more and more, and you simplify and simplify and simplify your practice and your relationship with that power, and you just boil it down to, you know, very, very, very simple act of concentration and love, anchored in your breath, everything starts to self-organize in your life. And just like you have no idea whatsoever right now how you're even able to hear these words, how you're even, what's happening, the sound that my voice is making, the way your ear is receiving those vibrations of sound, the way it's being translated into your brain, what the electrochemical and the electromagnetic consequences are of that, what that's doing to your neurological, the neurological pattern in your brain and in your body, what are the neurotransmitters, the neurochemicals that are going to every single cell now as a consequence of that, how every single one of those cells is changing, accommodating receptor sites on it right now to receive this information in your body. You have no idea about any of that, what's going on. Your digestive system, if you had anything to eat today, how that's all being digested, how the endocrine system, all the glands are regulating the chemistry, the electrochemistry in your blood right now. You have no idea about any of this. None of us do. 99.9999% of what's going on, we have no idea about it. It's all going on out of a conscious realm. So we need to humble ourselves. Just sticking to our own little physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual inner world is enough to humble ourselves if we're really honest about it, let alone trying to figure out the, you know, the greater scheme of things. So when we're really, really honest about it, everything becomes very, very simple. And life is shepherding us to the place we need to be within ourselves with the right attitude, with the optimal attitude and the awareness that we need. And if you don't get that equation right, the awareness and your attitude, if you don't get that balance right within yourself, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer greatly, just like everyone else is. But if you do get it right, you're going to be held in the amazing grace. And that's what we need. That's absolutely what we need. We need to be in the grace now. And as we're in the grace, we're bringing in the new heaven and the new earth. We're bringing in, you know, that we're living life how it's supposed to be lived. This whole modern civilization is just, it's like a detour. And it's become a freak show. So we need to remove, you know, get back on the road, get back on the right way. But it is, the main thing is your breath and the certainty of what you're breathing. You don't need 10,000 hours of practice to become a master. You don't need 10,000 hours of forgiveness prayers to purify your soul. You don't need any of that. What you need to do is to breathe in the certainty of who you are, your eternal nature, which is the spirit of life. It's pure. It's perfect. It's made in the image and likeness of God. It's always been that way. It is the Christ light. And that's it. That's it. That's the living, that's the foundation of your whole thing. And if you have that certainty underneath everything, this is what Nietzsche is. This is what faith is. If you have that certainty underneath everything, then you can go forward and you can deal with it all. But if you don't have if you're not living from the place inside of yourself where that already exists, you don't have to put it there. God put it there. It's already inside of you. It's who you actually are. If you aren't living from that place, you ignore it, and you are seduced by the nonsense that the world has reinforced, and it will continue to condition into you every day. And the reflections of just about everyone that you meet who are wobbling around in their own nonsense without standing on the ground of this being within themselves, then you're just going to wobble as well. And you're just going to be another Muppet in the Muppet Show. And you're not going to be able to experience your superhero potential. You know, you're just not going to be able to manifest it. It's just as simple as that. But if you have the faith, if you know, if you can practice breathing from that place within yourself and just take it deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and trust, surrender, let go and be committed to your practice and self-nurturing in this very simple way, everything will self-organize and it will all be revealed as a living truth within you.
That sounds amazing.
And that's another way of
and my brain, you know, I mean, I keep throwing up objections about what does it mean to self-organize, and then, like, what is the active component, and then you said the word equation is with awareness and attitude. So it's hard, because I hear what you're saying, but then I also sort of constantly feel myself being pulled to, like, you know, wanting to, like, right brain the whole thing, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's life as a human. That's life as a human. And just notice that and know that that's, you know, where's that going to take you? What's that going to do? And get back to the breath. Get back on track. Get back to the real juice. Because it's not, as Nick said, in the mind anyway. So all the understanding, all the conceptualization isn't going to get you there. It's just not. It's bankrupt. We don't know how the brain works anyhow. We don't know how anything works. We have no idea how anything works. But, you know, we don't even know how food digests. No idea. All the best scientists in the world have no idea about that at all. And so, you know, what we're talking about is accessing the greater part of who you are. That's what the whole superhero training's about. And, you know, 1 + 1 doesn't have to equal anything at all there. It doesn't even exist. So don't worry about any of that, Michael.
Okay.
Just notice that you've got, your brain has that tendency, and breathe in and breathe out and let it go.
This is what mastery is, mate. Mastery is basically developing the ability to, you know, in a way, ignore your mind. Exist from a place where the mind just doesn't have a, you know, you don't even hear it. And you have to, you know, expand your awareness, expand your consciousness, embrace your eternal nature to be able to do that, and that's practice. You know, most everyone is stuck in their head. So, breathing, we just give you the simple, basic strategies to experience freedom, but it's in the practice that you do it. That you experience that, you see.
Should we try to see, like, the whole scene? Like, not just reality through our own eyes, but try to, like, widen the aperture and, like, see the entire scene that we're in, sort of?
Yeah. Yeah, you can't see it. Don't try and see it. It's too vast, but you can embrace it with your awareness. Yeah, that's exactly what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm.
And that's an act of surrendering. The little self, the ego self, is obliterated in that act. That's why it kicks up such a fuss, throws up all its silly little ideas, because it doesn't want to be obliterated.
Yeah, because you're not paying it any heed. It likes to be paid heed. There's so much freedom in there, Michael. That's all there is, really.
Yeah.
And it's less about trying and more about surrendering. You know, just dropping in, just letting go. just letting go. Because trying implies getting somewhere or working at something. And this isn't that space. This is more of a getting bigger, letting go, surrendering feeling you want to have.
It's almost a constant process of deeper levels of surrendering.
Constant. Exactly right. Never ending, so far as I can tell. I mean, really, that's pretty much what I'm doing from the minute I wake up to the minute I go to sleep. Surrendering, opening more, trusting more, opening more, surrendering, embracing.
What do you guys think when you wake up? Like, what's the first thing that you're doing? Are you immediately going into gratitude?
Yeah, I do. Mm. Breathing gratitude and love.
Mm.
Yeah, don't wake up too fast. Wake up slow. And make love, feel love and gratitude, yeah, immense love and gratitude. And you have to set that up the night before. You have to go to bed with that, you know. That's why it's good not to have big dinner in the evening and just to make sure you have a really good meditation and prayers and sweet energy before you go to sleep. Yeah, don't get straight off YouTube and, you know, try and go to bed, get into, you know, candles and shanty vibes and, you know, really nice feelings and deep breathing and, you know, go deeper into yourself before you go to sleep. And, you know, you're looking for the love. The love is there. There is a living love in life and there's a huge amount of it. And, you can just slip into communion with that and go into sleep and then wake up with it as well and, you know, and do it again.
Yeah, the morning it's a rich, rich, rich time of connection there. And I always set my morning up like that because there's so much, it's so rich and so pure and so much nourishment there, right there. There you go, right there, just making that a practice will give you so much, is not having anything there is that you're doing, but really creating that opening there just to receive, to be in a receptive, open space of listening and connecting.
And if you don't do that, you know, if you get on the computer at night, you're watching all this crazy shit that's going on in the world, you go to sleep with that, you wake up in the morning, you get straight on your phone or something, you know, or, you know, whatever, you're not breaking the pattern and the frequency and the vibration of the world. You see, what we consider reality, this human world, including our physical body and this whole wonderful, extraordinary realm that we exist in, we consider that reality. But there's a deeper reality underneath it. And the one that's superimposed on the real one is, it's on a different frequency to our natural, environment, the environment that we belong in, you know, our real home, our real world. That world is a world of love. It's a world of peace. It's very pure. Everything's very gentle in there. It's not carnivorous. There's no competition. It's self-perpetuating. It's an eternal world, so it lasts forever. This is, you know, the world that we're in here in this material world is, you know, most of it's the opposite of that. So these things exist on different frequencies and vibrational frequencies, you see. Just like a radio station, we can listen to music on this one, turn the dial a little tiny bit, or flick the, you know, the wavelength thing over and listen to a whole different other bunch. You can be classical music playing on one and super hardcore, you know, death rock on the other. You know, and what we did was just move this little thing just a millimeter. Well, it's exactly the same with life. And you have to move your little radio dial inside of yourself, which is your awareness and your attitude. Your breath is what moves it. And how deep you can go within yourself. Because that other world, the real world, exists within you, and it's who you actually are. Your spirit actually lives in there. And it's completely different to this one. So we need to reprioritize. We need to understand that if I fill myself with the vibrations of the world, I am going to be polluted by that. And I'm going to be possessed by that. I'm going to become full of it. All of my cells are going to start vibing on those frequencies. I'm going to be stuck in a mindset and a feeling patterns. So it's all about breaking the patterns and shifting onto these other frequencies of being. Considering yourself more as a vibrational being than a physical one. This physical body is just a little spaceship we get to run around in for a while. It's an awesome thing. But it's not who we are, yeah? It's our friend, it's an instrument, it's a tool, it's a way of interfacing with this dimension in this world, and it's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. But just like I was saying about the digestion and all the rest of it, we have no idea how it works. Even the most advanced brain surgeon will admit that they know virtually nothing about the brain. And you can extrapolate that to the rest of the body if we're really honest about it. It's a mystery. So it's just a microcosm of life itself. Life is a mystery. So we need to humble ourselves, go a little deeper, live as if we're going to die tomorrow. Because you might. Michelle did last week. We don't know when we're going. But you're going. So how are you going to face that if you're going to die today? You leave the house in an hour after this call. You've got an appointment. You walk out onto the road and you get splattered by a big truck. Drive through who's driven through a stoplight or something. Boom. You're gone. Where are you going? What's going to happen? You know? So this is the context. Life goes on. We're eternal beings. And so we need to live with a sense of eternity. There's an anchor point within ourselves so we can find it with our breath. And the anchor point is the certainty of who we are. And it's a mystery that's been revealed. The mind wants to know everything about it. Analyze it all. So you're going to have to deal with the fact that you're moving out of the asylum where the 10,000 lunatics live in your head. You're moving out of that thing. Into the nature around it. You're expanding your awareness to embrace a deeper, more eternal sense of self. And you do that through peace and sensitivity. So it just boils down to feeling, love, gratitude. Forgiveness helps you let go of everything. Focus deep within yourself through the breath allows you to find that place within you which is beyond mind. And that's where your freedom is. And just enjoy your life, however long it is. It's gonna be lasting in this realm. And the more you do it, the more you practice, the more mind-blowing your life becomes in this world. I love my life. I'm so into my life. I love it. It's the best ever.
So when you talk about Nishche, I think I was interpreting it before as being certain about like what we're trying to accomplish in this physical world. But it sounds like it's not even about that at all. It's actually just about knowing accepting, I guess, our eternal nature.
That's right. Being certain about that from a focal point within you, from an epicenter of consciousness, a tiny, tiny, tiny point. That's all it is.
And it also sounds like truly like doing what it is that we need to do to love ourselves and nurture ourselves.
Yeah, from that point within yourself of certainty, you see, your psyche is like a huge vortex. It's like a big tornado or a whirlwind or a hurricane. Huge vortex. And that vortex contains everything, your subconscious, your unconscious, your conscious mind, past lives, all kinds of stuff in there, all these fractals of your energy investment over this lifetime and previous lifetimes. That's all in your psyche. A psyche is another name for the soul. But within the epicenter of the vortex, within the eye of the storm, of the hurricane or the typhoon or the tornado, whatever it is, there is this epicenter, this point. And that's your soul, the epicenter of your soul. And that's the portal to eternity and the infinite. That's where God is. That's where you live. That's where you're supposed to be living from. And when you come from that deep center within you, everything self-organizes. If you have the right attitude of Ho'oponopono, that forgiveness attitude, everything in your psyche gets dissolved that's in there that is discordant. So if you had issues with your family in the past and, you know, for years you were in violent confrontation with them, judgment, withholding patterns of love, you come from that deep center within yourself. You do forgiveness, you have an attitude of forgiveness from there, and it's a universal attitude. I mean, you can direct it to individuals if you want, but it's a universal compassion. It's like the metta practice of the Buddhists, where they absorb the suffering of the world, and then they radiate out compassion. They do that from a deep, 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 deep core inner center of self. Buddha consciousness is beyond all the physical and the material. It's beyond all the manifestations of form. So it's coming from that sense of certainty within you. You're not a person. You're more of an idea born in the mind of God, and that you need to be centered in the certainty of that, because you exist in eternity. You exist in eternity. Anyone that's done ayahuasca, for example, or, you know, gone into any psychedelic experiences, you know, when you open your mind to some, you know, these greater vistas, it becomes very obvious how enormous it all is. And anyone that does that kind of stuff, psychoactive substances over and over and over, you know, can become completely overwhelmed by it all and burned out, fried, become dysfunctional, utterly dysfunctional, and, you know, just too mental, just stuck in this, you know, their minds, which have had a glimpse of eternity. And like I was saying before, your mind is not the organ to connect with the eternal and the infinite. It's your soul. And you have to do that but you have to go to the center of your being to be able to handle it. And that is, the center of your being is an attitude of certainty. Deep, 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 deep certainty. Focal point of that, the epicenter of consciousness, as an infinitesimally tiny point of light. So you find that tiny, 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 tiny epicenter of your being through the breath and the knowingness, and you just take it deeper, and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And then from there, it's very simple. You just need to radiate compassion. It couldn't get any easier. It's so easy. It's so simple when you practice it. If you don't practice it, it's actually impossible. If you don't know these things, it's impossible. But when you know it and you practice it, it becomes very easy and extremely simple.
And enjoyable and nurturing,
yeah.
Which
enjoyable.
Takes your initial question, Michael. You see, we've come full circle.
Nice work, Taylor.
Oh, you know.
Thank you. I love you all so much, and I appreciate your work.
Wonderful. Thank you for asking the question, and we'll look forward to your service in the world.
Mm.
Yeah.
Me too.
Keep it simple, Barley.
Keep it simple, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, keep it simple.
Okay.
And I feel for you, Michael, being, considering yourself more of a vibrational being would be very supportive. An energetic vibrational being.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, thank you for holding down the space there in SF and Oakland. That's one big hub there. So, onward and upward. All right, so I think, it's 10 o'clock. How are you feeling, Mr. Good?
I'm doing great. Are we wrapping up? You want to say a prayer to finish off?
I mean, we could wrap up. We have someone with their hand up, but what do you want to do?
Well, if they've been waiting for ages, let's get them on.
They actually have to leave. All right, hold on. All right, you're unmuted, Arlington.
Hi, Taylor. Hi, Nick. It's Ehsan.
Thank you for being
so patient. Sure, yes. Actually, I got the answer to my main question several times during the call. So, thank you. I mean, I had another question, which I think it requires maybe a shorter answer, if I am allowed to ask that.
Well, we're happy to answer any questions you have.
Yeah, so it's actually about relationships, emotional relationships, because in my own experience, so in general, I have been in several relationships, but usually what happens is that even though everything works fine and it's a good relationship, I usually don't seem to be in it with my whole heart, you know, and there is always something in my mind that says that, you know, this path that you are in is something that you are alone in it. So even though you enjoy these relationships, this is not something that you can rely on too much. And I get this feedback from the other person too. So I wanted to really know how important are relationships, like, for example, a love relationship.
When you say you get the feedback from this other person, what do you mean?
Well, I get they tell me that I don't seem to be really involved in the relationship, that they are really putting far more energy in the relationship than I do. And that is true, I can't deny it. Like, for example, when I look at people in relationships where all they think about is each other and everything that they do is together, I really don't seem to be able to do it.
That's so funny. Yeah, well, let's be completely frank. You are alone, and my sense is that's a high level of being related. And maybe all that's missing is that you haven't found another person that also has that level of connection to themselves to be related with. because what happens when you're related to yourself at the at that level, by that I mean you are whole and complete in and of yourself and are not looking for something to complete you in by virtue of being of it being in the other person. There's a whole different level of relationship that can occur that otherwise simply can't. And so the second part of your question, is it important? Well, you know, I don't know if it's important or not, but it's when you have that kind of a relationship where you're an eternal being and you're then now relating to another one, all there is love. All there is that what you call heart space, which I'm going to call a soul space. An eternal connection. Like you are, it's what Nick said earlier, you are where you are one, where you do have that experience of complete merging, because you actually are. You're merging at that level where you are from, where you're the eternal soul that you are, and as are they. And you're coming together, and really all there is to do in that space is celebrate and enjoy it. And that's distinct. That's distinct. And mm-hmm. It's the best ever. And you can have that with anyone, by the way. I mean, if that's where you're coming from and relating to from there. So, is that making sense to you?
Yes. Yes, it does. You know, but the thing is that these things are not really extremes in my mind. So I do have this need for some relationship, and it does give me some enjoyment. It has a lot of benefits for me. So what I don't know is that, like, for example, if I decide that, well, I really prefer to be alone for the rest of my life, what should I do with this part of me that wants connection, that wants emotional closeness?
Well, you know, I know a lot of people that choose to be alone. I enjoy being alone a lot. And it may be that, you know, that's a path for you, and if you really desire connection, you can have it. You can have it both with yourself, but also you can then have that be what it is you want to connect with. So,
right.
you know what I mean? Like, it's something that you're desiring, and you'll connect with it. You will do that if that's a real desire that you have. You'll just do it.
But to be able to let go of feeling
like you have to have that there's a certain way it should look or a need or any of those preconceived ideas about relationships is probably step one.
Yeah.
Just really.
Yeah, and also it's not an either or. You don't have to make a choice. Relax, bro. Relax. Enjoy your life. You have relationships are gonna, if you're supposed to be having relationships, they're gonna be coming. The women are gonna be coming. That's for sure. Any significant relationships, you're gonna be going through them. 100% guaranteed. Main relationship is your relationship with God. Focus on that all the time. Bring it into your relationship with a woman. Make sure that it's a three-pointed relationship, you, her, and God. Because I understand what you mean when it becomes horizontal and it's all about the relationship and you and me. I understand what you mean by that. But you need that third point in there, and that is God. So if you're using your relationship as a container to improve your relationship with God, and you're using your relationship as God to improve your relationships, you're on it. And also, you can have beautiful relationships with everyone if you have that attitude. and you can have a lot of nourishment in platonic relationships, in relationships with strangers. You can have so much nourishment in relating to people all the way across the spectrum. It doesn't have to be like a full, deeply intimate, you know, sexual connection. So just relax. You don't have to make a choice. It feels like you want us to help you choose. You don't have to make a choice. The spiritual path is all about embracing paradoxes, embracing everything, and embracing everyone. Everyone has that Christ-like within them. See it, relate to it from that the light within yourself, and love your life, man. Love your life. Love everyone. Love everyone. Everyone's got goodness in them.
That's right. There's so much love. There's so much love out there. It's shocking. I'm bowled over by the connections I have with just with everyone I come across. And you will have the relationships you're meant to have, whoever it's with. You know, that's just the way it works. The people that are in your life are there. And, you know, I like what Nick said about, you know, that your relationship needs to include God. I look at it as like the Holy Trinity. You know, there's you, there's your partner, and then there's the Holy Spirit, which is really the juice that runs it all. I know. When I really looked at marrying Jeff, you know, I was like, why are we doing that anyways? Like, what's that all about? And I was deep in meditation for about 2 years on this topic. You know, like, what? Because I couldn't make any sense out of it. And what came to me really, it was so profound. I remember what happened was I saw marriage as a container, as a sacred, like a bowl. And it really was about that something occurred in the union that was a whole nother aspect, a whole nother energy. It was like 1 + 1 actually equals way more, and that way more was that spiritual union that was what really united us. It wasn't, you know, Jeff and me. It was really that, you know, that whatever that was, which I just call the Holy Spirit, and that's like the Holy Trinity. And there is something super sacred that occurred when I really saw that's actually what our marriage could be. That's what we're creating is energy, is a energy configuration, so to speak. And that continues to be what really fuels and feeds our relationship and enables me to have that kind of, you know, I get sourced there in all the relationships that I have. I mean, it's so fantastic. You know, I just look forward to even being around anyone just to enjoy and appreciate what's going to happen in that relationship. What's there before me? What child of God is this that we get to enjoy one another at that level? And that's heaven on earth. That's what we're creating here. That's what we have the opportunity to be and for one another at that level. That's real service, and that's real connection, and that's all there is. You know, just that, take that and go forth and see what you resonate with and see what is in your path and see what, you know, comes your way. And that's enough. All these other things about the relationship, I mean, it's just, it's exhausting, really. I mean, you can go round and round and up and down and all that, you know. It's just not.
Yeah.
It's, and you're so tapped in, you know. You trust yourself.
Well, I think that's the issue, Taylor. Maybe I really lost this trust in myself, so I really don't know what choices to make. I'm afraid of making choices because I really don't know myself. Now, I don't know what action to make. What is this? Is this action really, where is the source of it? Where is it coming from?
Oh, yeah, no, you can never lose yourself. That's the good news. That's the really good news. You can't. You're there. It's just what you're focused on. You're just focused on, you know, the nonsense, really. And I don't know, who knows where all that came from. It doesn't even matter. The point is, you have the trust and the faith, and it's all within you, and it's who you are. It's who you always have been and who you always will be. You have lost nothing at all whatsoever. You've just gotten distracted and focused on, you know, these other ideas and thoughts. And you just want to see them as that. But the real heart and soul of who you are is solid. Nothing can tarnish that, ever.
Okay.
Ever. Can you see that? Can you feel that?
Well, honestly, it sometimes becomes a little paradoxical because there is this thing, as you say, maybe it's not the exact concept that you are conveying, but there is this teaching that, well, what you are and what you do is sufficient. Don't worry about it, just do it, and it's always the best thing happening to you. You know, and then it makes me a little bit confused. It makes me passive. I don't know. So if I want to just stay in bed and do nothing, say this is my choice, is it the right thing? You know, this is what's a little bit, I know this is just working with these concepts leads to paradoxes, but, yeah, I can say that it just makes me not sure of, what I really want to do. Even in my most simple actions that I want to make.
Yeah, you know, probably you won't find that in your mind and or concepts. You got to just let that go. It's kind of you won't find those answers there. So it really is about letting concepts in general go and relaxing and trusting and getting bigger, getting into the space of who you know yourself to be, your eternal soul. There aren't really any concepts there whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, none at all. Not one.
Practice.
Like Dick said, you just need to enjoy your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know how to do that, right?
Yes, I think I do.
All right, I gotta jump, you guys. So I'm gonna jump out of here. If you want to keep it going, TC, I want to thank everyone for the questions and sending lots of love. And I hope you got a lot out of this call.
Yeah, thanks, Nick. Awesome. We're just going to wrap it up here with a little prayer.
Okay, sweet. You go for it.
Aloha. So, why don't we just do a little prayer here with you and just to complete the call and just support you in freeing up from the whole question. How's that sound?
That's beautiful.
All right. And everyone will benefit. Well, let's just take a moment and close our eyes and take a few deep breaths. And just really breathe in all of eternity. Imagine just breathing in all of eternity, whatever that feels like to you. Knowing that you are all of eternity. And so take the kind of breath that that is. Just feel all of your entire multidimensional systems just expanding and contracting and relaxing and opening up even more. Just see yourself as an energetic being of light. So magnificent. This vehicle that you've been given and your soul resides in is just a magnificent masterpiece that is beyond description, really. Then just see your connection to your soul's lineage. Everything that ever came, all of your ancestors, your parents and your parents before them. And just feel the breadth and scope of that energy. It just goes on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And then there's you. At the very end of that, in this current time, space, reality. And all of that makes you up, all of creation. Imagine all living things, all creatures, all plants, all little crawling beings, all of it. It's all of it. It's all contained there within you. And here you are. And here you are at this time on the planet. And every day you have an opportunity to express this soul, this lineage, this light, this energy that you are every single day. You wake up in your life and have an opportunity to express. You have an opportunity to experience as a physical being. You have sensations. You have taste. You smell. You have sight. These are fantastic sensations, all of your senses. You have intuition. Just see that. And all of us have this, by the way. And all of this, all of us have everything that you have, just like that. Here we are, all together on this planet Earth, with all of that going on, and way, way, way more that we haven't even discussed. And every day you wake up, and you have the opportunity to experience in the physical form, in the physical world, and you've got at your back the breath and scope of limitlessness that you can tap into at any moment, really, by choice, at any moment. You can be all those things and way, way more we haven't even talked about at any moment, at any choice point. And you could actually choose to live from that place and move yourself about and connect with people and move things forward. And just love. Just come from a deep space of compassion and love and appreciation and gratitude. and see what would that look like if that was your mobilizing principle. And trust, like a deep trust that there's a reason that you were born at this particular time, and here you are at the end of your entire soul's lineage walking about. See your life as the wonder it is, really, just a complete and total wonder, a complete and total wonder. And all the gifts you've been given and the passions that you have and the skills and the abilities, just a wonder. It's just a wonder. Where on earth does that even come from? It's all a wonder. It's a wondrous world that you've been birthed into by your parents and their parents before them, and on and on and on and on, all through infinity. Here you are. And so you've chosen the path of a superhero, which is one of being in service and having your spiritual evolution be a priority. And that's a mobilizing priority for you, a focus, a focal point. It's from that place where you can create magic and miracles, truly. And you have at your fingertips, and with every breath, the opportunity to connect into this limitless light and energy that you are, to draw upon, give you nourishment and reserve and faith and trust and passion and power and grace and beauty. And that's what you're here for. You're an embodiment of spirit and heart and soul. And see yourself choosing that in all of your interactions and in the moments throughout your day, such that your life is being guided and directed from this great vector of energy and light that you are. You're just being guided and directed at every moment, at every turn, at every choice. And so filled with love, that you love your life completely. You just love it. Everything about it. Everything. Every single little thing. And that you're so appreciative to be born this time in the world, even though there's everything that's going on in the world about you. You are an invincible being of light and energy. Invincible. You have behind you all of this and way more that we aren't even talking about. And so let's just give a great wave of appreciation to being alive here at this time on the planet, and to being aware and awake and evolved, and that you even have access to this great reservoir of who you are, this limitless light and being of your soul and spirit, that you know it, that you can tap into it at will. It's there for you as simply as a breath and a thought away. Let's just send a great wave of appreciation for that. And a great wave that all those that are seeking this level of connection can have it in this world, in this lifetime. That people's prayers are being answered, that their suffering is ending, that they can awaken to this world within them, and find peace, like you do, like you have, like you are. Good. And with that, let's take one final breath and just send a wave of appreciation to all the superheroes and the community that we have here, that we can have this time to have these conversations and come together in these ways of union and support and appreciation of this spiritual connection which we all have. And may many, many, many blessings be upon you.